Wake-Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, the Final Four in Houston as San Diego State will take on Florida Atlantic in the semifinals. And San Diego State out of the Mountain West Conference, Ted Leitner joins us on a Progressive guest line. Making Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com today. How are you, Ted? Thanks for joining us this morning.
Tony, I'm good. I'm good. How's things?
I'm great. Thank you so much. All right, so San Diego State, Mountain West Conference, but feels like a team that has been building and building and building toward this. It's one of those teams that kind of pops up in the tournament. People talk about how good defensively they are. Was this team different at the beginning of the season, or did it feel like, all right, this is another good San Diego State team, let's see what happens, or was Brian Dutcher building something a little different?
I think people had great anticipation, and it wasn't because there were a couple of great players. It wasn't, you know, like the 2010 season when Kawhi Leonard was there, and you thought, "Whoa,
yeah,
this guy's a pro! This guy's a pro now!" And the people around him were just a fantastic team. So you knew the difference with this one was no superstar. Matt Bradley's a terrific player, but he's not a superstar. He's not a Kawhi, certainly. But they had depth. But an unbelievable depth. They'd always go and start and think, wow, if they're going to start that five, what about that guy? What about that guy? What about that guy? He can start too. So will you have a problem with that? And the answer was, with this type of team, with these kind of guys who are really different, they honestly, it's not just talk, they don't care if they start. They only want to win. And unselfishly, they don't care about how much they scored. They don't check a box score at the end to see what they did. It's a very unusual team, I believe, in this day and age of me. So the anticipation was, wow, with this depth and all these guys who can come off the bench and score and play Aztec defense, which has been going on for 10, 15 years, then this is really, what is this going to be like? What happened was, at the beginning, they would either score prolifically, there's a big word,
right,
and or they wouldn't score at all. And that continued, but they improved overall. And when they go to the first media timeout, they bring in three other type starters. It has tremendous depth, and that's what killed Alabama, and they were able to beat number one. So they've gotten better and better with a squad that's as deep as any team in the country.
Their defense, and they've been known for this physical defense for a number of years, but as a guy that's there courtside watching every game, how do you determine whether or not are they going to get away with some stuff tonight, or are the officials going to let them do what they do tonight? Because that was sort of what people were pointing to in the Creighton game, was watch early. If they're loose on the whistle, this is going to happen. If they're tight on the whistle, this may happen.
No question. And those guys, and I think I love that, because some of these games are just absurd with the free throw-a-thon.
Right.
And that's not what people paid to go see. I thought the officials let them play in the Creighton game, and for the most part also in Alabama. So it is. It depends on the officials and what they're looking to do. And in that particular game, that was typical Aztec, try to wear them down even more so against Alabama, which nobody thought they had a chance to win. So, yeah, it does depend how the game is called, but they are big, they are tough. And I got a first read on that in the Mountain West tournament in Las Vegas, and when other broadcasters and people from other teams just come up and say, you know, I look at your club and think, when they take the court, it's an NBA team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the linebackers and tight ends and big muscular guys who really, really play tough. And that has gotten them here.
Has that always been the case? Does that go back to Steve Fisher philosophy? I mean, Brian Dutcher and them go hand in hand. Is that just something that's carried over the years?
Great question, Tony. Great question. And the answer is yes, because people thought maybe it started with Steve Fisher and San Diego State. It didn't. It started with Steve Fisher at Michigan.
Nice.
With Brian Dutcher, with the Fab Five. And it didn't matter if you were Jalen Rose or the biggest superstar in the world. The theory was, and the concept was, if you don't play defense here with the Fab Five at Michigan for Steve, you're going to be sitting next to Steve on the bench. There was never a doubt. You had to play defense no matter how great you were offensively. And he brought that to San Diego State. And guys like Kawhi, who could defend from day one as an Aztec, just enormous, long arms and tremendous hands. And that's why he went there. That's why other people go there. They talk to friends of theirs and say, hey, man, You'd love it here. You're a gym rat, just like these guys. They're in the gym at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. They got their little key cards. They get them in anytime they want, and they go and they practice and practice and practice, and you've got to be part of that culture or don't go. Don't go, but, hey, you would love this. And that's how they got Jaden Ledee. This guy, 6'9", 240, NBA power forward in the making, and his friends told him, hey, the way you work out, the way you love to play and play defense, you're going to San Diego State. And he did.
You know, I one of the things I try to do in these interviews, I love the big picture aspect of what we get talking about. And Steve Fisher is one of these guys that just is going to have a place in college basketball history. From the time from winning that championship with Ramil Robinson at the free throw line to the Fab Four connection. And Brian Dutcher's been the head coach for a while now, right? It's 2017 or so, about 5 or 6 years. I mean, he's been the head coach for a while. How much, though, is Steve Fisher's presence around this program? How much of it is he still around?
He's still around physically and at most games. And, you know, he retired and probably, you know, Fletcher, who's been with him all the way at Michigan and from day one, I broadcast that first game in 99 when they got blasted. And it was the worst program in the country. It had been that way for a long number of years. But Steve just had the, you know, Steve would walk around campus and he would give tickets out.
Oh,
he would give tickets out. He'd go, if you had a group and it was, he wouldn't say how many people in the group because it was 10 people. He would go speak to that group. And since I'd been there much longer than him, he would say, hey, I'm giving tickets away. I said, Steve, if you're at a company in San Diego and you put 2 Aztec tickets on the bulletin board, the next morning, there'll be 4 tickets on the bulletin board. It's impossible to make this program grow, but good luck to you, buddy. And he worked and worked and worked and worked. And what they started to do in terms of recruiting was get terrific transfers. Way before the transfer portal became what it is today, he would get the great transfers, starting with Tony Bland in Syracuse and a bunch of guys like that, Muhammad Abakar in Florida, Thames, Washington State, a long list of, he used that and knew that was the way to get better, faster, and he did. Steve's presence, he is the father of Aztec basketball and one of the great men I have ever, ever, ever met or been able and privileged to be with and travel with. He has got to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know why he is.
I'm with you.
Part of that is, hey, I could coach the Fab Five.
Right,
you know, I could coach those kind of guys. And that kind of works against people, and it's wrong.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you 100% on Steve Fisher. There's a lot of talk about the future of this program, where they may be going in terms of the school, in terms of conferences. But let's talk about the conference they're in, Mountain West. They got 4 invites into this tournament. There were some good teams that didn't get invited into this thing. How much of the cliche of iron sharpening iron, how much did they get out of conference play?
Conference play surprised me, and I'm the same way. I'm not. We're in the Mountain West. I'm not a cheerleader. I don't wave the flag. The Mountain West has had some really down years, but they've gotten really, really better in football and in basketball. And I thought this. Well, KenPom, rating everything that moves in basketball, said this was the number 5 strongest conference in the country. That ain't bad for the Mountain West. And I thought if Wyoming had the big guy, Graham Ike, who was going to be the player of the year, they would have been right up there with San Diego State and Boise State and all the other guys that did get in among those you mentioned, the 4 at-large bids into the Mountain West tournament. So I think it's strong. Obviously, the Pac-12 missing and losing USC and UCLA, they always kept the Aztecs, who've been trying to get into Pac-12 for a long time. USC and UCLA would say, hey, we recruit in San Diego. We're not letting them in the Pac-12 and take away our fertile recruiting ground. But once those two decided to go to the Big Ten, then everybody wants San Diego State in the Pac-12.
Yep, exactly. Ted, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Hope to run into you this weekend in Houston. And again, good luck to the Aztecs. Appreciate your time.
I love talking to you, Tony, anytime.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. Ted Leitner, play-by-play voice of the San Diego State Aztecs. Again, 31-6 this season, 15-3 in Mountain West Conference play, a team that has been building for something like this for a while. They get in these tournaments with Kawhi Leonard 12 years ago making it. But, again, strong, physical, defensive team out of a Mountain West Conference that he said got a lot of respect this year. Not all the time. I mean, I follow Air Force closely with my ties there, but it's not all the time that the Mountain West has produced a season where you can go down 6 deep and go, hey, there's some good teams here. 4 got into this NCAA tournament, and San Diego State won it, not only the regular season, but the conference tournament, and they are now in the Final 4, something that's been building.
I almost feel like this NCAA tournament is highlighting the smaller conferences.
I do, too. It's making, like, hey, waking up. Yeah.
Look at these guys. I mean, it's a shame that you know, we had these two small conference teams are playing against each other.
Yeah.
But even right now, I mean, you know, you have ACC represented, you have the Big East. Right, UConn's in the Big East?
UConn's in the Big East, yep. And the ACC in the Big East, yeah. And that's two power sixes.
Power sixes, even though it feels like the Big East is now like trending towards being a smaller conference.
Well, I got a friend of mine who's going to be in town. He works for the Mountain West Conference directly, and he does their like TV show and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's going to be in town for the Final Four. I guarantee you, privately, he would have said, that's something I never thought I'd check off with this job. Right? Is attending the Final Four with any one of these teams.
Final Four NIT, sure.
Sure, sure. But now he is. Now he's got a team. And if he had told me that there was one, it would probably have been San Diego State.